Welcome. Robert Slavin is with us today. He's a leader in the area of evidence-based policy in education. He's the director of the Center for Research and Reform in Education at Johns Hopkins University, chairman of the Success for All Foundation, and a columnist for the Huffington Post. He recently gave the keynote address to the American Psychological Association titled Evidence-Based Policy in Education. He joins us today by phone to discuss some of the key points from that address. Bob, welcome.
I'm delighted to be here.
In your keynote address, you noted that in education, we're seeing a movement towards greater use of evidence in decision-making. And while you emphasize that that's very encouraging, you also noted that we've got a long way to go. In other words, most decisions today in the field of education aren't made using evidence. Start us off, if you would, by giving us a real-world example using your memorable story involving something that hasn't been discussed on this blog before, a bumpy lizard.
Okay. This is a true story. I was talking to a friend of mine who was once the president of a big publishing house, and he was telling me about how one year they decided they were really going to go with the, I wouldn't quite say evidence, but you know, the current wisdom of the field, and make a state-of-the-art, break-the-mold science text for high schools that was going to incorporate everything that the field thought was important to have in a science text. And they made huge changes and made a very responsive, appealing, state-of-the-art kind of text. Well, they did focus groups after they'd produced this text, in which they had the competitors there as well, the competing texts, and they got people to look them over. Well, it so happened that the same year, a different publisher had come out with a text that used a new printing technology that enabled you to put a raised surface on the cover of the book. And so this particular text had a picture of a bumpy lizard on this biology text where you could actually feel the lizard. Well, as soon as they got into the focus groups, my friend knew that they were doomed. Everybody in the focus group was gravitating toward the bumpy lizard. They were passing it around. They were running their fingers over it. They loved that book. And not only did they love the book, but they ascribed to it all kinds of content that actually did exist in my friend's book and didn't exist in the Bumpy Lizard book, but they so wanted it to exist that they claimed that those things were in there as well. And it just illustrates the way decisions are made in education, that that all kinds of factors other than the impact of a given textbook or software or professional development program or what have you, all kinds of factors go into the decision about what to use and what not to use, you know, what things look like, politics, costs, and so on. Evidence hardly ever plays any role at all. And if we're going to make any progress in education, I think that that's got to be different.
In terms of thinking about how the field of education could be different, you argue that it could learn from other fields such as medicine and agriculture and engineering in terms of the use of evidence. Tell us more about that.
I think in fields other than education that have made substantial progress, looking to evidence is a standard element of what they do. People usually give medicine as the best example of this, that if you come out with a new drug or a new procedure or a new device, then it has to be shown to be effective in rigorous experiments and, you know, tested out or monitored by the Food and Drug Administration. And that the evidence is taken quite seriously. And as a result, anyone who wants to play in that space, anyone who wants to compete in that space, knows that whatever they produce has to be effective because it's going to be subjected to very rigorous tests. The same would be true in agriculture. The same would be true in parts of engineering and parts of technology where people know that you're just not going to get by because something looks nice. It's actually going to have to perform and it's going to be tested. It's going to its performance is going to be determined by independent tests. In education, we have nothing like that. And anybody's claim is pretty much as good as anybody else's claim. We don't even have a real consumer reports, much less a Food and Drug Administration, to tell us what works. And as a result, we just keep doing the same things over and over again and deciding to do one kind of policy or one kind of intervention or another based on things that have nothing at all to do with the impact on children.
You've noted that marketers of educational products are aware of the growing emphasis on evidence, and that many have adjusted their marketing accordingly, even if the evidence behind their products is sometimes quite weak.
Every marketer knows that they have to have an answer when somebody asks, is there evidence behind this? It's not an unusual question, but of course what they're going to say is yes. Now, what is that evidence? That evidence could be that there's one school somewhere in Nevada that showed gains the year after they took this on. Was it because of the program? Who knows? There was no control group. It may have been an unusual case, and this, it may not have even happened. I mean, and there's no way, it's very, very difficult for an individual educator to go and check. Or else it may be that it's based on a gain from pre to post, or it may be that it's in line with current understandings of how children learn, but actually the product itself has not been tested. And so people who adopt educational products, who are usually more likely to be principals or, you know, middle-level people in the district rather than individual teachers, they are aware quite frequently that the evidence that they're being told about is probably not worth anything, but they don't want to sit in the library for a week and try to figure it out, and they don't feel as though they're that expert on looking at research, and so they kind of, you know, all right, so they said that there's evidence. Maybe it's not great evidence, but, you know, at least there's something, and I'll make my decision based on that. Plus, there's this really cute bumpy lizard on the cover.
In your keynote address, Bob, you present a vision for evidence-based policy in education. What are the main components of that vision?
Well, I think there are several things that have to happen, some of which are starting to happen and others need to. One is you have to have a much larger set of proven programs that have been evaluated in rigorous experiments where you've compared schools that are using a given program to those in a control group that are using standard practices, and then come up with programs that have proven to be effective in that kind of experiment and that can be brought to scale, that can be replicated or disseminated. That's moving along with programs like Investing in Innovation and some other government programs that are moving this forward. Secondly, you have to have some kind of an incentive or encouragement from government for people to use programs that have been proven to be effective. And that's utterly lacking right now. You could easily have a situation in which in Title I or in other federal education programs, there was at least encouragement and ideally actual monetary incentives or additional points on a grant application that you could receive if you use something with strong evidence of effectiveness. That would have a dramatic impact in a very short time if such a policy were adopted. And third, you have to have ways to find out what the evidence is very easily. There is something in education called the What Works Clearinghouse, but it's difficult to use. I do think that there's progress on this front. The government has adopted some new standards in their EDGAR regulations that define what strong evidence and moderate evidence of effectiveness are, and those may help somewhat to help people who really want to know where the strong evidence is and what programs are really supported by strong evidence, but that's just kind of starting off from a reasonably low level right now. But if you had those three things going, if you knew what worked, if there were lots of things that were known to work and had been adequately evaluated, and there were, you know, incentives or assistance for schools to adopt things that work, then you've got a powerful engine that would not only help educators use what exists now, but also would be a strong incentive for developers and marketers and others to create things that are likely to make a difference in student achievement instead of making things that just happen to look good.
Finally, Bob, would you take one of the bright spots, one of the examples that you see of how the field is strengthening the use of evidence, and explain it further for our listeners?
I think that the most important thing that's going on right now is this is I3, the Investing in Innovation. What it's doing is identifying promising programs where there's some reason to expect that things might make a difference. And this is things across all of preschool through high school, all different subjects, all different kinds of interventions. And they're taking programs that are a good idea and helping them to get their first evaluations and to put the programs together in a replicable form. Then they're taking programs that have already been evaluated and found to be effective and enabling them to go to scale, helping them to scale up to much larger numbers of schools. So it's building up the pipeline of proven programs at the same time as it's helping those that are at the front end of the pipeline to really get out into practice. That has to be a key part of any evidence-based strategy, and I think education really is leading in this particular area in terms of expanding the range of things that can be used in schools to make a big difference.
Robert Slavin from Johns Hopkins University. Bob, thanks for being with us and sharing your insights.
Okay, glad to do it.